one guy came up and he said that my video convinced him to not kill himself. Your money doesn't go with you. Your house doesn't go with you. Your car doesn't go with you. It's you and you. That day burnt into my memory as one of the most painful memories I ever have.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the studio. Today we have Lawrence Harris, youth empowerment speaker, helping teens and young adults break limits and build self-worth. Welcome to the studio, Lawrence.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here. My younger self will be very proud of all this.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. Speaking of being proud of you, you made a bold leap to jump on an airplane and come out here from Philly.
Yeah, it was my first time ever being on a flight. And for those who aren't aware, I'm 19. So traveling by myself is something that I've always envisioned. Like, I've always had the thought of it. But when you take action on something, you realize it's so much different than you expect. It's like this jolt of this plane leaving the ground, and it hit me. This is my life. And through everything I've overcome, everything I've been through and all the people I've helped, now it is on public display in this recording studio that I would have never dreamed possible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm so blessed to have you here in the studio. Thank you for making the trip. And that is such a big move to jump on a plane at your age. You're literally walking your talk. You have a speaking platform, and you're using your social media and public speaking platform to empower youth and young adults.
Yeah, I like to describe it like this. There's so many young people out there who just need hope. You know, we live in a world that is constantly telling people what they can and cannot be, how they can and cannot show themselves. I'm literally wearing a purple suit. Why? My favorite color, purple. And because of the fact that I just can. And a lot of people feel like they can't. They feel like they can't be who they truly are. They feel like they can't take that dream and that goal they have in their head and bring that to reality. And I just want to show it's possible, no matter where you come from, what you look like, what people say about you, the judgments of the world. You can, if you believe you can.
Beautifully said. And purple is the color of royalty. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. Good color to choose as your favorite. I love it. Yes. Lawrence, walk the audience through your startup, your journey, your own youth, and leading you up to where you are now.
So people see Lawrence today, they see this 19-year-old and he's traveling and he's doing these speed engagements and he's up on stage and on all these podcasts. They see this today. But who I used to be was this 12-year-old who was just sitting on a black couch one day and my dad just blacked my eye. My mom was calling my phone to tell my sister happy birthday. But, you know, one thing leads to another. And that day burnt into my memory as one of the most painful memories I ever have. Because it's not just when this happened one time. It's over the years of this being repeated. And my mom and dad have separate houses, you know, completely separated. And I remember for years feeling like there was nothing I could do. Because being the oldest sibling, I wanted to keep my little brother and little sister safe. So I would go out of my way to take the brunt of everything, to learn how to numb my emotions, to make sure they didn't have to feel what I felt. And eventually, when I was 13, he kicked me out of his house in front of a church, which is a pretty strange place for this to happen. We were watching my sister perform a song, and my mom came to, you know, support. Not to start any problems or anything, just to be present. And my mom and his wife end up getting into this argument, and this whole scene, he takes my siblings, goes back to his house, and just last thing he ever said to me in person was telling my mom to take him. He's your problem now. And it's one thing when the world judges you, it's one thing when people you don't know say something bad about you. But growing up, trying to be a man that I'm proud of without having that example set for me, feeling like I can't trust anybody because if your own parent would do this, anyone could and anyone will. Thankfully, my mom did get me into therapy when I was younger, and it helped a lot. You know, I learned that I was diagnosed with something called complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So people here see PTSD, and they're like, okay, I've heard PTSD, but what's CPTSD? Think of every single time you see anything that triggers you, you are mentally, physically, spiritually 12 years old on that black couch again. You feel everything. You hear it. You see it. You have like trouble with emotions and relationship issues, and there's a lot of things to it. And through the journey of learning how to heal that, through the journey of having to get really honest with myself, I was able to become who I am today. And I started recently writing a book about all the symptoms of it and all of the things I overcame, how I did it, to show people not only it's possible, not only what I've been through, but here's how I got through it.
That's amazing.
Thank you. And that's been the last 7 years of my life.
That's amazing. Now, also, we were talking a little bit off camera about your diagnosis of autism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you have that diagnosis prior to the PTSD diagnosis?
Well, it came multiple times. Like the first time we were like, see, people look at autism and they think like, oh, it's just like the Sheldon Cooper or the person who's like has severe trouble with day-to-day functions. Mm-hmm. Whereas with me, people had a feeling like they were like, there's something different about it, but we just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And the first time they diagnosed me with like Asperger's, then the second time they were like autism, and then the third time they were like, we're not really sure. So I did some more research myself, and I'm like, no, this is all lining up perfectly.
So somewhere on the spectrum.
Yeah, definitely. Yes,
that's where you felt.
Yeah, somewhere. Like I just knew it.
Yeah.
And
now, did that coincide with the other diagnosis?
Well, they blend together in a really strange way. So a common thing with autism, you'll have like trouble with social interactions. And one of the symptoms of PTSD, well, CPTSD and PTSD, they're different sides of the same coin. But both of them, you'll have trouble with trusting people. So you have challenges with social dynamics. You have challenges trusting people. You blend these together. You have to learn how to navigate basic human interactions again. And that's another thing I'm very big on helping people realize, that not everyone is out to get you, even if you think they are.
Right. Yeah. You've experienced quite a bit, and now you've parlayed all of your experience into your platform to help other people, which I think is amazing, mostly youth empowerment, but I think you're reaching adults too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's pretty pretty powerful what you're doing there. Walk me through your first speaking engagement, getting to that point.
Well,
like, how did you make the leap from your youth into your new platform as an adult, as a young adult?
Well, the first engagement, I would say, started off with me just making YouTube content and social media like TikToks and Instagram videos, where I wanted to not only get things off of my mind, but I just had this gut knowing that if I can share something positive with other people, somehow, some way, I'll start to feel better. Yeah. Like I would make content about just general statements like, I know things might be hard for you, but you can make it through this. That might just be the entire video. And just me talking about the good side, about how to. But then around the age of when I was 18, I started becoming more understanding that people, they don't just need how to do something. They need, what have you been through? Like, what has qualified me to help other people. And that's when I started to get very open and honest and blatant about all of the details, like the most gut-wrenching things, those times when you are so paranoid that you can't sleep and your skin is breaking down and you're sweating like crazy because you think that every single brown minivan is about to be your dad hopping out the car.
Yeah.
But you consciously know. Like, you know that's not true, but your brain doesn't know that's not true because your brain is stuck in the past, but you're moving forward here. And in making my content, it helped me to constantly remind myself, Lawrence, you are fine.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And you're so brave to be so vulnerable in such a large, in front of such a large audience with your social media platform. And like you said, Instagram was your first leap.
Yeah.
And just making those short video content, reels, was very therapeutic for you. And just sharing and hearing yourself, watching yourself back, I'm sure very cathartic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It helped me to realize that shame and fear and all these things that hold us back, they only exist in the dark.
Yeah.
When you shine a light on them, other people are able to heal through you because they know they're not the only one.
They feel less alone.
Yeah.
You're helping people feel less alone.
And the interesting thing is that when you're in that like dark place mentally, you start to feel like you're the only one in the world with problems. You know that's not true, but your brain starts to make you believe it because, no, look, every other speaker on Instagram and YouTube and everywhere else, they don't seem to have any problems. Nobody else has problems. You're the only one. And if you say it, people are going to judge you, but that's not true. The wrong people will judge you. But the people who resonate with you and the people who you're meant to help, when they hear your story, I've had people come up to me and cry and tell me that I said something that's just going to stick with them forever. I've had people recognize me in the streets on my city. And one guy came up and he said that my video convinced him to not kill himself.
Wow.
And he never told me his name. I didn't ask because that caught me so off guard that I knew it would help somebody like that. Like, I knew it would. But when you hear it said to you, when you have people who reach out to me and say that my video helped them to get out of toxic relationships and they're doing better with their family and all these things, my 15-year-old self who just started making TikToks, he would not have believed this.
Yeah. Wow, that's just proof positive that you're making an impact. And I think it becomes very real when you have real life people coming up to you and telling you, you know, out of the social media stratosphere, you know, you're seeing these people on the streets. It's much different. It's a game changer when you take yourself out of the social media stratosphere and onto the street and you're really meeting real humans.
And you just brought up a really good point about connecting with people and connecting in ways that you wouldn't expect. Because the entire way I ended up on this podcast was I just had the audacity to send an email.
Yeah, I love audacity.
Yeah, it's like I just sent an email. Worst case scenario, people say no. Best case scenario, I end up with a situation so much better than I could have ever imagined. I landed off that plane and it kind of just hits you that your pain has a purpose. The issues you've gone through are meant to strengthen you. Because I was actually making a YouTube video about this earlier. I was sitting on a park bench just talking and rehearsing this. And I said that if you never went through hard things, your life will never be good because you don't know what bad is. And when you are sitting up just feeling like nothing's worth and everything's terrible in your life, and as dramatic teenagerish as this sound, when you truly believe that your life is doomed to fail, and then somehow you end up having a life where you enjoy waking up, you enjoy seeing the sun, you enjoy looking at a river flowing, at trees, at just the simplest things, you realize that the reason why I'm so positive today is because of how negative I used to be. And when you get out of the past and get into where you are now, you can look back on it and go, yeah, had I not gone through that, I wouldn't be who I am today.
You weathered the storm so you could see the sun come out. I love it. That's a great positive attitude to have and a great perspective. Now, I've been there before in the dark space of feeling like people had let me down, and mentors come and go throughout your life, some good, some not so great. Who has inspired you to keep down this path and encourages you the most?
There are many people. I could run down a long list, but I'm not going to go into the detail of it exactly, but my mom is a huge one. She's overcame some crazy things in her life. I met this guy named Wallow267, who I was mentioning him to you yesterday.
Yes.
He went to prison for 25 years. Like, he didn't get sentenced. He served 25, which is a lot different than people think it is, because he went in a teenager, came out an adult. Yeah. He grew up in prison, and then he came out and became a motivational speaker. Now he's an author. He has his own podcast. He's a multimillionaire. Like, he had defied odds that are so insurmountable, or other people like Tony Robbins. He's a good example of this. He grew up in severe poverty. Or you could look at an example such as, because I take examples from everyone.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe, she's a good example of this too. She was an orphan. Or you can look at people who have become like exceptional in their craft. A lot of musicians, a lot of artists, a lot of poets. Edgar Allan Poe, he's a good example. The reason why he is so good at poetry is because of how dark his life was. And he figured out how to take that pain, transmute it into something that has left a lasting impact for generations. And I'm trying to be that for other people, to be that for my younger self, to help people realize that as much as we hear this cliche thrown around, there really is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that light doesn't mean ending your life. It doesn't mean running from the problem. It doesn't mean escapism. It means that we have to go through the dark. We have to unpack it and understand what is going on in us in order to then get to the light.
I agree. It's a dark place, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. Now, when you're engaging with folks, are you getting into the schools? Are you getting up on stage at schools and reaching out to your peers?
Yeah. So the main places I have gone recently have been churches. I've done a few libraries. I've done like a summer camp that I used to, it was 3 weeks ago. I spoke at a summer camp that I was a camper at 10 years prior.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was a huge full circle moment.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Schools is a great one I'm trying to get into. The thing with them, though, they plan so far in advance.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I haven't been inside of a school just yet. But it'll be very soon.
You're great at relationship building, and if you start now, you'll be able to get on the roster for the upcoming year.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. I've been reaching out to a bunch of them.
Yeah, perfect.
I was at the airport yesterday and met a lady who actually, her sister is a principal in Ohio. So,
that's and you like to travel now. You've already flown on your first plane. Now you're ready. Yes.
Yeah. I was journaling about it last night about how that flight realized that it reminded me that you can go so much higher than you believe possible. Because we are often operating from like this ground level perspective of what we can achieve. Mm-hmm. Like, I can only go as far as is realistic. And realistic is just whatever you believe it to be. Unfortunately, though, we're often taught by other people what our definition of realistic should be. Such as, it's unrealistic to be 19 years old, an author, a speaker with 4 years of experience, because I've been doing this since I was 15, traveling the country, just living life I have. That's very unrealistic. But now that I've shown it's possible, other people, they're 15, they're like, it's possible.
It's your reality.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And
you're living proof.
Yeah, the first person who ran a 4-minute mile, everyone thought it was impossible. He said, I'm going to do it. Then he did it. Now people are running 4-minute miles all the time.
Yeah.
Now you have Usain Bolt running like 30 miles an hour. And we have people who are jumping 7 feet in the air vertically. Had they listened to being realistic, they wouldn't have the life they have. And if I allowed myself to stay stuck in that like darkness of what people said I could and cannot be, I wouldn't be Lawrence.
You're defying the odds.
Yeah.
You're living proof. Now, at just 19 years old, what are some of the things that you're doing to help keep yourself motivated? Like, we talked a little bit about kind of getting out, clearing your head, walking. You love to fish. I know that. Yeah. That's one of your things. But share with the audience, what are some things at 19, what are you doing to help keep mentally fit?
So there are many things. The key ones that I tell everyone this, whether you are 10 years old or 100, if you are physically capable of doing these, they will change your life. Get a journal and write in it every day. Consistent exercise, go outside. Because journaling, you'll start to notice things about yourself. You'll start to notice, why do I feel the way I feel? Why do I have these thoughts about myself? Why do I think I can't? Why do I believe that I am defined by my circumstances? Like, why do I believe that? Oh, because that's what I got told growing up. Who told you that? Your family, your friends, music you listen to, movies. Well, why did you listen to that? Like of all things, why did you listen to that? I was too young to understand. Well, now you're not too young to understand. So how can I solve this? Are these beliefs things that are fueling me forward, or are they holding me back? Do I want to believe that I can't? Do I want to believe that I'm stuck? No, I don't want to believe that. Okay, diary, so how do I solve my problem? And then you wait and you'll get an answer. Maybe not immediately. It might take a couple days, weeks, even months. But if you journal, you'll get answers to things about yourself you would have never expected.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's like you have this conscious thinking mind, and then you have this subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind creates like 95% of all the decisions you make. Like, if you observe your life on a long span of time and you ask yourself, why did I do that? I wasn't really thinking about why I did that thing. Well, why did I do it though? Oh, you did that because it's part of your daily routine. And we have all these little routines that happen in the background of our mind, such as we think the same thoughts over and over and over. We do the same things. We talk to the same people. We live the same way because it's our subconscious. It's in the library of our mind. But our conscious is, what are we thinking about right here, right now? Your subconscious is a library. Your conscious is the book you're reading and the sentence you're reading right now. Journaling helps you to unpack all of that because nobody knows you better than you know you. And if you don't know who you truly are, there are a lot of people who will use that against you. Because when people don't know who they are and they don't love themselves, they become very easily controlled. Another thing I do is reading. One of the books I suggest that everyone above the age of 16 read is 1984. That book was banned because of how it critiqued So, little history lesson is the book 1984 was written in the year 1948 during the Cold War. And at the time, people were very paranoid and on edge. And this book explains how people will try to use, like, surveillance. They'll try quantum manipulation. They will separate you from other people. It basically outlined mass hysteria and manipulation tactics and all these things. And it makes it is shockingly accurate to the world we live in today. Journaling, by bringing that unconscious into your conscious, you see it everywhere. You'll see that the reason why a lot of people have arguments isn't because they're actually mad at that person. It's because they were taught to be mad at that person, because it's easy to sell stuff to people who aren't aware that, yeah, these shoes are nice, but I don't need them. You can't really sell to those people. Journaling protects you from so many things.
It reveals everything about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have all the answers within. The answers lie within. Yeah. And I like how you point out, too, that the answers just organically come to you. They might come to you, you write it down, and then maybe 2 weeks, 2 months later, you're out fishing one day, enjoying yourself, and boom, you've solved that problem, or that answer comes to you. I like that you're very in touch and in tune with that. That's very, very wise.
Thank you. Yes. Like, you had to learn to be in touch with yourself somehow.
Yeah.
Because maybe for some people, it won't be fishing. It might be rock climbing. It might be running. It could be exercise. It could be painting. It could be yoga. You just have to find some physical activity, because when you have the mind in a good spot and you have the body in a good spot, you also start to have the spirit in a good spot. That's another huge thing. I believe that everyone needs to have some sort of spiritual belief. Because when, on those times when everything I tried wasn't working, when I had no faith in myself, I had to say, okay, God, take the wheel. I don't have a driver's license. You take over.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. I don't. Let me just do what you say, and we'll get through this. Because there's such a lack of faith when you're in that dark spot. You start to feel like that. Because keep in mind, I got kicked out and disowned in front of a church.
Yeah.
So I had a long period of my life where I felt like God must really not care. And that is one of the darkest places someone can ever be. Because you start to feel like no one cares. Not even an all-loving being cares about you. And then you start finding yourself withdrawing from people. You start pulling yourself away from everything. You'll skip good opportunities because you feel you don't deserve it. You stop taking care of yourself. It's bad.
Yeah.
But people can look at someone in that place and they'll start to judge them and label them and criticize them. But very rarely do people ask, well, why? They'll ask what's wrong with you. But we need to stop looking at what's wrong with people and look at what's right. Within, under all that dirt, under all that pain, under all that heartbreak and addiction and homelessness and whatever this person's going through, that's somebody's baby. That's somebody's baby in the hospital with the bottle and everything. That's somebody. That's not a homeless man. That's not a drug addict. That's not whatever the person is. That is someone. And people need to understand that you are someone no matter what you even think about yourself. Because sometimes we're our own worst critic. Sometimes we start saying real bad stuff about ourselves. I've been there plenty of times.
Absolutely. You like to encourage people to steer clear of stigma and labels.
Yeah.
So I think that that's very important that we steer clear of labels and stigma, especially for the youth that you're looking to empower with your platform here. Yes.
Like, when it comes to labels such as like autism and CPTSD and things like that, that's because you need to at least have a way to name what you're going through.
Sure.
Like, to know, you're not just losing your mind. You're not crazy. This is an actual thing.
And it helps you understand yourself.
Yeah. Because once you know that this is a thing, you can look into obviously, you know, credible research sources, but you can look into like, okay, well, what is this? Like, there are people who have gotten through this. What did they do? What books are there on this subject? What can I learn about my specific challenge that can help me? But when it comes to labels about what the world says about you and says what you can and cannot be, that because you're from a certain place, you cannot achieve that. Because of how you act, you are crazy. You're out of your mind. You're this. You're that. Don't listen to the label the world gives you. Listen to the labels that support you and help you to realize that you're someone. It's such a simple statement, but you are someone.
And you have all the tools within. I love that you found that at such a young age. That's pretty powerful. You're a pretty wise young man. Now with all that being said, you've actually jumped into the entrepreneurial world of taking your platform to the next level. And I'd love it if you'd share with the audience a little bit about that journey.
So that's a lot of different like aspects to it. But I will say this, if you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, it's no joke. There's going to be a lot of nights when you're trying to figure out how are you going to pay rent. There's a lot of nights when you're trying to figure out like legal paperwork. A lot of nights when you're trying to get the product set up and you're trying to figure out what are you going to even make. And then all those beliefs you have about yourself, especially for entrepreneurs, you need to journal. Like it is undeniable, journaling as an entrepreneur, having some sort of way you unpack your own beliefs is essential. Because let's say you have a belief that money is bad. If you believe money is bad, how are you going to pay your rent? It's like you start to, I would often hear things growing up such as money is the root of all evil. It's not. It's the love of money. It's like when you are in love with money for money's sake, that's when people start getting into greed and cheating and doing all these things. But money in and of itself is just a piece of paper. It's a shell. It is a coin. But in entrepreneurship, that has helped me to see these beliefs about myself. Like, why do my ads not really work that well? It's nothing to do with the ad. As weird as it sounds, it's the belief you have going into it. Then entrepreneurship also comes with challenges such as the judgment and criticism of people who think you're delusional and you're out of your mind. And how are you going to achieve that thing? How are you going to be the first business owner in your family? How are you going to do it?
Well, you're very determined. I can tell you that. That's what I love about you. And I love talking to you about this topic because you're so very determined and you can't listen. You understand that you can't listen to everybody and not everybody sees your vision the way that you see it.
Yeah, it's I was talking to myself about this earlier where. So whatever you believe in, you know, maybe that's God, Buddha, Allah, whatever. They gave you that vision, that like talent, that ability, that skill for a reason. They didn't tell your aunt, your cousin, your niece, your nephew, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your next door neighbor that vision. They told you that. And I believe that God will always make a way for you. You know, and sometimes you have to be delusional. You have to learn how to walk on water, per se. Like, you have to have such incredible faith as an entrepreneur because where I am today, you know, things are great and they're only getting better. But to get to this point, there were a lot of times when I'm down to my last $5 and I'm like, I got to put this into the ads. We're going to figure out the rest later. You know, I live with my family, so I'm not going to starve tonight, but I can't eat out. You know, it's going to be a lot of times you can't do that. It's going to be a lot of times when
those sacrifices. Yeah.
People see the end result. They see the person making $50,000 a month. They see the person driving the fancy car. They see all that stuff. They see the penthouses, especially now with social media. They see all that. But they don't see the time when you're trying to figure out how are you going to afford your office rent. They don't see the times when you might be up until 2 in the morning because you're editing a book. They don't see the times when you're in a public park recording yourself talking into a camera and you got a bunch of people looking at you like.
I love it. Yeah. Well, you're doing all those things and yes. only at 19. So I think it's so – I think that, you know, that's – that you were born with that. I think that that's very special. And we were just talking earlier today about your book. So you have plans for yourself. You're looking at publishing a book.
Yeah. So I've published multiple, but this one is where I'm getting into like the, it's going to be the first time I'm going into like the depths of my, how my 12-year-old self was thinking. Like not just, okay, observing it from a bird's eye perspective. I wrote it in first person. So you're not hearing, I felt like, no, it's, I feel like I'm taking a burning shower made of molten lead, but I have no skin. And it only gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And then there's days I feel absolutely nothing. I'm not cold. I'm not hot. I'm not warm. I am nothing. And as I sit here pondering about this, I wonder, will I ever be something? Can I be something? Or will this be my life? And then I flow that into, like, then my older self perspective. And then how did I get through that? And it's a book that when this thing comes out, it's going to revolutionize the world.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yes, it is.
You have a lot to share. I think it's pretty inspiring. And so when you envision your future and you envision your empowerment platform, what does that look like for you?
It looks like going to school. It looks like going to colleges. People would be surprised. College students are, they're going through a lot right now, especially going into like youth centers, having a space where like I run my own events. There's so many things that I have envisioned, and it's kind of hard to describe what I see in the future because everything I see then, I'm doing some version of it now.
Now, exactly.
Like, no, I don't have an entire auditorium for myself where I'm hosting my own events. But at my office in Philadelphia, I do book out a room in there, and it's like a little classroom with a whiteboard, and I host little events there. I'm not going into these huge, massive universities now, but I'm going into places such as NAMI, which is the National American Mental, the National Association of Mental Illness, and I speak there for them on subjects about like youth especially, because I'm there, I'm like about to be the poster child for that thing.
Wow, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm not going to be like, oh, and they're huge national board posters, but I'm working my way up there.
Yeah, well, you're seed planting and you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So I like the point that you made of everything that you see for your future, you're living right now because you're such a present person. You're so present in the moment. And I think that that's a lot that a lot of people forget, you know, to live presently, live in the moment. And people are either living in the past or living in the future. And that creates anxiety.
Yeah. And it's like you, in order to get to the future you want, you kind of have to look at the past and realize, what am I carrying from the past? Like, imagine you're trying to climb Mount Everest, and at the top of the summit is everything you want. This is your goal. This is the dream body, dream relationship, house, money, car, self-love. Everything you want is up here on top of Mount Everest. But you're trying to hike up, and inside of your book bag, you have all of this cement, like this dead weight, these bricks, this trash, this dirty clothes, everything. And you're trying to hike up. And as you're hiking up, it starts to become apparent what's weighing you down. It might be a person. You're like, you know, I want to bring them to the top with me, but they're not meant to go there with you.
Yeah.
And taking that person out of your life, that is painful. Cutting off family members, I had to do it a lot of times. That is painful, but you can either try to drag dead weight up the mountain, or you can realize what people, places, and things are holding you back. And let it go. Let go of that old relationship, that habit, that person, that thing, and then make your way up to the mountain.
Yeah.
And as you get higher and higher, you start to notice other things that aren't physical. It's not an addiction. It's not a person. It's not a thing. It's something inside of you. It's memories from the past. And yes, those memories aren't painful. They're real. They're valid. But you have to unpack, well, why am I letting this control me? How is this showing up in my life? And I remember being 15 years old and looking in my bathroom mirror and asking myself that question of why? Like, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel like nothing can ever get better? Why do I feel like I'm just doomed to fail in everything? Why? And it was like a light bulb moment of, oh, it's because you're still holding on to all the things your dad said and did to you. Mind you, at this point, I hadn't seen him in years. Yeah. But mentally, I was still holding on to things like this anger, this frustration, this just like fury of a sort. And it was only when I got honest and looked at the truth, because we, a lot of times, we know the truth. We see the truth. It's obvious. But we run from it. We're like, no, I don't want to open up that door.
We don't always accept.
Yeah, I don't want to accept the truth, even though I know it's the truth.
Yeah.
I don't want to open that can of worms. Let me just go back. Let me
turn our head to a lot, don't we?
Yeah. Let me go where it's comfortable. Let me stay with these people that I know aren't good for me.
People don't like change.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? I experienced that myself when I was on my own journey. It's facing change is very hard. Cutting people out of your life, like you said, your father, it doesn't mean that you don't have love for those people, but you have to love yourself, right?
Yeah.
And you have to find those tools.
And you just brought up a really good point about self-love. So often the concept of self-love is one of my favorite things to talk about. Because we were in the car yesterday, and I described it similar to this. When people don't love themselves, they're really easy to control. Because you want to look cool. You want to appear attractive. You want to seem like somebody people want to be around. If you buy these $400 shoes, people will like you. Then the next month, I sell you the $500 shoe because now you need the new thing. Or I need you to buy this phone, this car, this house, this thing, but then I'm going to say the new thing, and you'll just keep like running after material gains.
It's a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once you get out of it and you like take yourself out of that spot of, well, why do I always feel like I need the newest shoes? Oh, because, you know, I want to look cool. Okay. Looking cool is a great thing. That's normal. Everybody wants to appear in a way that they find desirable. Well, who do I want to look cool to? Oh, I want this girl to like me. I want this guy to like me. Why do I care so much? Like, why do I care so much about the perception of other people that I do things with the intent to get their validation, not in a way that, oh, I like wearing a purple suit, so I'm going to wear this, and if it just so happens somebody else likes it, so be it. But I'm going to unconsciously, deliberately go and buy this thing, buy this car, buy this house to get the affection and appreciation of other people who aren't buried with me. Because when you die, it's just you. Yeah. Now, that's just the truth. Your money doesn't go with you. Your house doesn't go with you. Your car doesn't go with you. It's you and you.
And the living version of us is just you also.
Yeah.
You know, once you figure that out, I think that's the point that you're trying to make, is that once you strip away all the shoes, the phone, the necklace, the chain, whatever it is that you have, your possessions, you're just left with yourself. So exploring that and getting to be in touch with yourself is key.
Yeah. And the best way I recommend for people to do it is just take a piece of paper and write out, who am I? Without saying your name, without your job, without what you are to other people. So things such as, I am a father. Yes, you are, but that's not who you are. That's a relation that you have with other people. Like character traits. I am loyal. I am honest. I am hardworking. How? Like, okay, now that you have defined yourself with these terms, how are you? Like, what evidence of loyalty is there in your life? You can't claim to say, I am loyal, but you're cheating on your partner. Now, in your own mind, you don't believe yourself because you say you're one thing, but you do another thing. And it's these subconscious thoughts and these subconscious beliefs that run our life. And your brain will hear that and it'll say, but that's not true about you. Because I remember, your brain remembers all the times you did the exact opposite of the thing you're now claiming to be. And the way you break from the past, because maybe in the past you were cheating. Maybe in the past you were lying and doing all these things, but now you're a new person. Now you are turning over a new leaf. Change your actions. Make your actions align with who you say you are, and over a long enough span of time, your brain will start to believe it. It'll start to see, oh yeah, I am that. And then, you know, imposter syndrome comes in every time when you step into a higher level of it, but then you get comfortable at that new level, and you're like, yeah, I am who I say I am. So it's painful when people strip away all the stuff and all the things, because then they start to realize, like, oh, I don't know who I am. Like, when I take away being a father, when I take away my car, my job, my this, my that, and I just look at Lawrence.
It's a little scary to be left with yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you only have yourself to look at in the end.
But once you get comfortable there and you turn that, like, dark void space into a place of, like, comfort and solitude, you'll start to love it there.
Yeah.
Like, I love being by myself because that's when I get to, like...
Self-improvement's addicting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like everyone's like an addict. You just got to pick the right drug.
There it is.
like everyone is. You know, and for some people, that might be going to the gym. If I go too long without going to the gym, I start getting down. I'm stressed. I'm upset. Because that's my healthy addiction.
Yeah.
If I go too long without fishing, like during the winter when all the lakes are frozen, I'm going to the gym basically every day to keep myself occupied because that's how I handle my stress.
Keeps your endorphins up and your mental fitness going.
And that's why I tell people, a journal, you'll start to understand yourself and your patterns and how you handle money and your emotions and what you saw growing up and how you handle relationships, how you handle your business, how do you handle your time management. Everything about you will be in this journal. And if you do this over a long enough span of time, you can look back on August 27th, 2024. Where was I? What was I doing? 2023, 2022, 2020.
It's interesting to see your mindset when you look back at those pages.
And you're like, I don't even recognize this guy because you've grown so much.
Yeah.
Exercise Powerful. Allows you to create like an appreciation of your physical body. Not as in you glorify it, as in you become like addicted to how you look, but you care about your vessel. You'll start to think like, you know, you'll start to think twice before spending like 3 days drinking every single night because you're like, this is going to have an effect somehow.
Now, are those things that you've managed to steer clear of throughout your youth here? Yeah.
You know, I like to look at, this is another thing, piece of advice I give people. If you want to achieve some sort of goal, write down every single thing you could do that would stop you from achieving that goal. Like every single thing, like you want to find as many things that would stop you from having the life you want. Let's say you wanted to become a multimillionaire. Like you want to have $50 million or something. And you write out, what is everything that would stop me from getting $50 million? Being lazy. Being unambitious, procrastination, gambling, an addiction, spending too much money on like relationships. So think of buying a bunch of like purses, wedding rings, all that. Like every single thing you could come up with as to what would stop you from getting $50 million. Every single thing that would stop you from getting the kind of physical health you want, the kind of relationships you want, the kind of business you want. And then do the opposite of those things.
There
you go. Because if you know what not to do, the exact opposite is what you should do. okay, if you're if you're being lazy, and that stops you from getting the goal you want, the money you want, the health you want, be consistent. Now you know what to do. Well, how long should I be consistent? Until you die.
Keep going.
Yeah, like, yeah, just
consistency
keep going.
Consistency is the key.
Yeah, like, if you wake up, that's another chance. Maybe you can't spend 15 hours a day working. Yeah. Okay, I think that's a bit unhealthy for most people. Your body is physically capable of it for a long amount of time.
But you have to tune into your body and listen to it.
Yeah. Like,
so it'll tell you, you need a break. Mine slows me down when I've hit the wall and I've run out of steam. It'll tell me, you need to relax. And if I don't pay attention to it, it'll hit me with a cold. You know what I mean? I'll come down with an ailment of some kind that'll keep me in bed for a couple of days because I didn't listen. So it'll force me down. So you got to, you got to check in with yourself.
And again, journaling allows you to do that too.
Yeah.
Because you'll notice, like, I'm feeling really tired today. I'm feeling sluggish. You know, I woke up on the wrong side of bed. I'm annoyed. And as you're writing this down, it kind of just hits you that, oh, it's because you decided to work 18 hours yesterday when you're not meant to do that.
Yeah.
You need some sleep.
Well, I love that you put a lot of thought and planning into your platform. You rehearse, you put the time in, you put in the reps, you're on social media consistently, you're consistently posting. I really enjoy watching your social media.
Thank you.
You always have something inspiring. Now, where can people find you if they want to book you for a speaking engagement?
I'm very easy to get in contact with. So far as my email address, it is lawrence@lawrencecharris.com. Far as my social media, Lawrence C. Empowers on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. It's very easy to find me.
Yeah. You're always posting great content. And what are some of the ideal speaking engagements that you'd like to get booked for?
Mainly high schools, colleges. If it has anything to do with the betterment of teens and young adults, contact me.
Beautiful. I love it. Lawrence, it's been such a pleasure having you in the studio today.
Thank you. It's been fantastic to be here. And one last message I want to give people is have the audacity to try. Like, have the audacity to know that your goals are attainable, that even though people may say you're delusional, even though people may doubt you, people may try to put fears in your head, more often than not, it's just they don't see the vision.
Yeah.
And someone's got to show them, because if not you, then who? You know, if not you, then who's going to be that chain maker in your family? If not you, then who's going to be an inspiration to your children? If not you, then who's going to help you through your problems that only you know about because you don't talk about them with other people?
Yeah.
If not you, then who? And it's up to you to make a change for your life, for those around you, and ultimately, by changing and helping and supporting yourself and those around you, you'll help to impact the world in ways you don't even think about.
Very inspiring. If not you, then who?
Yeah.
I love it. It's been such a great episode with you today. I'm feeling very inspired. Ladies and gentlemen, the very empowering Lawrence Harris. Book this guy. Follow him on all of his platforms. And that's a wrap.